Very good. Let's turn in our Bibles, please, for the first reading to Psalm 49. Psalm 49, verse 1. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired Word of God. To the chief musician, a psalm for the sons of Korah. Hear this, all ye people. Give ear, all ye inhabitants of the world, both low and high, rich and poor together. My mouth shall speak of wisdom, and the meditation of my heart shall be of understanding. I will incline mine ear to a parable. I will open my dark saying upon the harp. Wherefore should I fear in the days of evil, when the iniquity of my heels shall compass me about? They that trust in their wealth and boast themselves in the multitude of their riches, none of them can by any means redeem his brother, nor give to God a ransom for him. For the redemption of their soul is precious, and it ceaseth forever. That he should still live forever and not see corruption. For he seeth that wise men die, likewise the fool and the brutish person perish, and leave their wealth to others. Their inward thought is that their houses shall continue forever, and their dwelling places to all generations. They call their lands after their own names. Nevertheless, man, being in honor, abideth not. He is like the beasts that perish. This their way is their folly, yet their posterity approve of their sayings. Selah. Like sheep they are laid in the grave. Death shall feed on them, and the upright shall have dominion over them in the morning, and their beauty shall consume in the grave from their dwelling. But God shall redeem my soul from the power of the grave, for he shall receive me. Selah. Be not afraid when one is made rich, when the glory of his house is increased. For when he dieth, he shall carry nothing away. His glory shall not descend after him. Though while he lived, he blessed his soul, and men will praise thee when thou doest well to thyself. He shall go to the generation of his fathers. They shall never see light. Man that is in honor and understandeth not is like the beasts that perish. May God add his blessing to the reading and to the hearing of his most holy word. All right, a psalm title once again. So we want to look at that just very briefly. We've seen all of these propositions before. So it's to the chief musician, that is, it's for public worship. It is a psalm for the sons of Korah, and we want to remember the great mercy and forgiveness of God whenever we read about a psalm that was written by those sons of the man who rebelled against Moses and Aaron and died before the Lord by fire coming out from the altar of God. He was a Levite. His sons went on to be Levites, and they became the authors, the human authors, of many of the psalms. They were also included, as we've said before, in the Levitical choir and orchestra. And so we have a wonderful record then of the mercy and forgiveness of God in the sons of Korah. All right. So it is a solemn introduction that we hear in this psalm. Notice the solemnity of it. Hear this, all ye people. All ye inhabitants of the world, give ear, low, high, rich, poor, together. So, first of all, it is a solemn call. And notice how the scriptures here go forth to the entirety of the world. Many will not read them. Many will not hear them. Many will not hear that word of God that is contained in the scriptures of the Old and New Testaments. Many will not hear that, but they will be called to account for it, whether they hear it or not. Because that word of God is nothing other than what God has represented to every man in their own constitution, as Romans 1 tells us, and especially with regard to the ethic of God. As Romans 2 tells us, the Gentiles who have not the law do by nature the things contained in the law. They witness that the law of God has been written creatively, according to their being created in the image of God, upon their own hearts. All right, so my mouth shall speak of wisdom, and the meditation of my heart shall be understanding. This word wisdom here, that's our Hebrew word maskil. Okay, so we have then this wisdom psalm. It's a self-proclaimed wisdom psalm in the body of it, not just in the title. I will incline mine ear to a parable. I will open my dark sayings upon the harp. And so this goes down all the way to verse 4 with this kind of introduction, this solemn introduction. It is a dark saying. What is a dark saying? That is, it is something that without God's help, it will not be rightly understood. Without someone, it's like the Ethiopian eunuch who's reading Isaiah 53, and the Lord says to Philip, join yourself to that chariot. And the Ethiopian eunuch says, how can I understand this unless someone guide me? Unless someone teach me. This is a dark saying. Is the writer writing about himself or someone else? Reading Isaiah 53. All right. Now, depending on what your Bible looks like, sometimes, you know, if you're in paragraph format rather than verse format, verse 5 will close out the introduction, and verse 6 will begin the second paragraph. And I think that'd be a contextual error, an arrangement error. Not a text error, but an arrangement error. Because I think that once the introduction is finished, and that is at the end of verse 4, then the psalmist is going to speak. He's going to personate, if you will, or impersonate the unbeliever. Notice what's in the mouth of the unbeliever here. Wherefore should I fear in the days of evil, when the iniquity of my heels shall compass me about? That's his boast. Why should I be afraid of death? Why should I fear a day of judgment? It's almost a taunt, isn't it? When the iniquity of my heels, ha ha, shall compass me about. That's never going to happen to me. And the rest of the psalm, I think, contextually bears that out. Because what is Psalm 49 about? It's about all of the ways unbelievers comfort themselves with regard to that specter of death that is always looming before them, and how they deny to themselves what Hebrews chapter 2 tells us that they always acknowledge. Right? That there is a certain fearful expectation that accrues to everyone. There is a natural fear of death. But the natural man denies that natural fear quite often and builds himself up like we see here in Psalm 49. And so I think Psalm 49 sets the tone for the attitude of the natural man that we see that is played out in several particulars in Psalm 49. Like what? They think their houses will go on forever. They name their lands after themselves. Their posterity approve of all that they do. In other words, they follow along in that same vein. Man that is held in honor and understandeth not perishes like a beast without knowing, without acknowledging where he's about to go. So I think that verse 5 here teaches us what is in the mouth of the unbeliever, how he's able somehow to whistle past the graveyard, as the old saying goes, right? Some of you may not understand what that phrase means, whistling past the graveyard. Whenever you see someone walking down the street and they're whistling, what do you think of them? What do you think? Well, here's a happy guy. Here's a joyous person walking down the street with a spring in his step and a whistle in his lips. But when you take that and you put it in the context of whistling past the graveyard, what does that mean? Well, that doesn't bother me. Right? Right on by. I'm not put to the worst by that. I remember Pastor Stotchill used to pastor a church down south that was in this old Lutheran churchyard and the church and the graveyard were in the same lot. I always thought what a wonderful thing it would be to preach in a church where the graveyard was in the same lot, because you could, from the pulpit, remind people what's right outside the door, right? But what does the natural man do? What do we learn from Psalm 49? That the natural man is all about putting that out of his mind. Why should I fear in the days of evil when the iniquity of my heels shall compass me about? There's no day of judgment. I'm not concerned for that. What I'm concerned about is my legacy. And that's where he sets it up. So watch now. Verse 6. They that trust in their wealth and boast themselves in the multitude of their riches. So here's his first prop. Here's his first stay. I've laid up a lot. I've accomplished a lot in my life. I'm going to be well remembered. I think I've told you about the synagogue that I helped to build when I lived in Southern California on Ventura Boulevard. It was a conservative synagogue, so it had at least some profession of the veracity of the Scriptures. They had a funeral there, and I was able to pick up one of those little programs that they had on the day after, or a couple days after, when we were there working. And I read through it as a concerned, you know, Christian guy. And here this rabbi was teaching the people that, you know, our loved ones, the afterlife is like this. Our loved ones are kept alive in our memories. What a horrible afterlife. What does this guy say here? I've laid up a lot. I'm going to be well remembered. Not enough. It's not enough. Now watch this. None of them can by any means redeem his brother or give to God a ransom for him, for the redemption of their soul is precious, and it ceaseth forever. Right? Money can't buy salvation. What did Peter say to Simon? Thy money perished with thee. Money can't buy that. You can amass all of the riches in the world and it will not take you to the next world. You've gained the whole world and lost your own soul, is how Christ put it. That he should live forever, ever, and not see corruption. 4, verse 10, he seeth that wise men die, likewise the fool, the brutish person, they perish, they leave their wealth to others. Where did all that wealth go? You remember Luke 12, right? The man has the windfall of crops. And so what does he say? Soul, thou hast laid up many goods. I have to build bigger barns. I can't put it all away. I've had so much. Soul, thou hast laid up many goods for thyself for many years. Eat and drink and be satisfied with your labor. And what did the Lord say to him? Thou fool, for this night shall thy soul be required of thee. And then whose shall those things be? Whom thou hast so, which thou hast diligently laid up. It's going to go to somebody else. It can't conduct you into the next life. So the first prop that we see here is wealth, station. Their inward thought is that their houses shall continue forever. Okay, so if I build up a big enough estate, that will carry me. No, no. They call their lands after their own names. That's still done, right? That's still done. And so, you know, how permanent is the land? My name will always be there on my land. And yet, how many of those estates have been broken up and given to others? What a false place, right? What a false place to put someone's security. Verse 12 then gives us the sum of the matter. Nevertheless, man being in honor abideth not. He is like the beasts that perish. This is their way and their folly, yet their posterity approve of their sayings. And then he's going to make it even more acute when he says, like sheep, they are laid in the grave. Death shall feed on them. And then an interesting phrase, right? The upright shall have dominion over them in the morning. What does that mean? What is the morning often in the Psalms? It's the resurrection, isn't it? Right? What will happen? What does Jesus tell us? What does the Apostle Paul tell us in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 will happen after we're raised from the dead? we will judge angels. We will participate in the judgment of the wicked under Christ. The upright shall have dominion over them in the morning. That's what that means. All right, so then, verse 15. But God will redeem my soul from the power of the grave, for he shall receive me. Don't you ever let anyone tell you that the resurrection is a New Testament doctrine. After our series from 1 Corinthians chapter 15 last year, I hope that no one will be tempted to do that ever again. Abraham believed in the resurrection. That was his hope. And so the psalmist makes that very clear. This is explicit. God will redeem my soul. That is my life. Not just my immaterial part. Remember, the Hebrew word nephesh does not mean soul like it does more in Greek thought of the immaterial part of man. For the Hebrew, it means all of me. Every bit of me. God will receive me, my soul. From the power of the grave, he shall receive me. So then, verses 16, 17, 18, and 19 give us counsel based on the resurrection. And what's that counsel? Don't be afraid when someone that is an unbeliever advances in this world. Don't be afraid of that. Don't grieve over it. It's an interesting thing, isn't it? Let's say that there's this individual that he's notoriously known as a wicked man, an oppressor, a thief. He has gotten his wealth and massive estate through what? Through thievery. And that's well known. And sometimes the people of God will be tempted to comfort themselves by saying, well, you know, what goes around comes around. He'll get his. Someday something's going to come along for him. Notice here that it doesn't say that. It says that true justice will only take place at the end of days. Sometimes the Lord, for his own purposes, will allow the wicked to rise and to flourish, even amass a great fortune, a great estate, based on their own wickedness. And they will die happily in their beds. But even if it goes that far, we are not to envy them, and we are not to think that somehow their position was one that ought to be desired. Because like sheep, they are laid in the grave. They are like the beasts that perish. And so notice how the psalm ends. Man that is in honor and understandeth not, he shall never see the light, is what it says just before that. Never see the light. The light of what? The light of the gospel. The light of God's grace. The light of true knowledge and understanding. Man that is in honor, he may be honored by the whole world and understandeth not. Is like the beasts that perish. What does the prophet Jeremiah tell us? Then we'll close with this. Let not the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the wise man glory in his wisdom. But him that glorieth, let him glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me. That's the honor we want. Not this other honor that accompanies sheep that are laid in the grave. Right? Let's stand and